Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. And skills are exactly what we're talking about today, Tim.
Absolutely.
All of us need to develop skills as young professionals, yeah. right? As young people becoming professionals. But it feels a lot of times like young people growing up are missing some of the basic skills that they need, honestly, just to survive, let yeah. alone to be ready for adulthood.
Yeah. So everybody knows over the last, I don't know what, 7 or 8 years, the word adult has become a verb.
Yes.
Or adulting.
Yes.
My kids have talked about that as a 30-year-old and 26-year-old. And you know, we all smile. They smile too. But it's become a challenge to go from backpack to briefcase or really more just from childhood where mom and dad really led me
yeah.
to now I've got to lead myself.
There was a time when, quote unquote, adulting was really just called living, right?
Yeah, that's true.
because
yeah.
you're 16, 17, yeah. and you've got to work. That's part of what you have to do. But now, because we're not developing or not gaining some of those skills until later on in life, it feels like more of a chore, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we've all heard stories of kids that have moved back home or never moved out of the house, and they need a contract to do so. But there's actually hard data, Andrew, for this. So as of 2017, 31% of young adults between the ages of 25 and 35, so this is not just out of college, 25
yeah,
to 35.
That's well into adulthood.
Still live at home with mom and dad. That's almost 1 in 3. In fact, Andrew, catch this, more young adults live with parents than with a spouse or a roommate.
In that same age bracket.
Yeah, yeah.
That statistic blows me away.
Yeah, yeah. So they're living alone. Or more often than not, they're still living with mom and dad, not quite ready to go out on their own.
So the largest category for adults who are currently 25 to 35, the largest category of them are either living with mom or dad or living on their own.
Correct, yeah.
More so than are married or living with roommates.
Yeah.
That's a crazy statistic and probably is connected to a lot of these young adults who just haven't had the life experiences to build some of these basic life skills.
Yeah, so we've always advocated for offering those life skills or those life experiences earlier than we are.
Yes.
We have migrated to later and later and later over the 90s and the first decade of the 2000s. And what we have to show for it now is they're not quite ready. And why wouldn't they be? We didn't yeah. get them ready.
Yeah. So. Well, I will say, just to call my own self out, maybe you want to do
yeah.
that too.
Yeah.
I didn't move out of my parents' house with all the skills in the world,
yeah.
you know?
Sure.
I look back on that time, heading off to college especially, I didn't know really how to budget that well. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I wasn't personally organized in
yeah.
every
yeah.
single area.
Yeah.
I definitely had no clue how insurance worked, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of those skills that I needed to build that maybe I wish I'd learned at home, But I've found a way to figure some of those things out, but we're all kind of
yeah.
are missing things, but it just feels like it's happening more and more.
Well, and you're a demonstration of you learn on a need-to-know basis.
Yes.
Once you needed to know, you figured it out. And that's what I think is true today. The problem is we parents or teachers or just adults have not created the need to know. So we'll continue to do the laundry for our children all the way through their senior year of high school because we think that's what good mothers do. But I actually think good mothers do something a little different. In fact, I'm so proud of my wife. She had our two kids, doing the laundry all through their high school years, and so they were quite familiar with that.
Yeah.
Now, did they have to grow in other areas? Of course they did, but they knew how to do darks, lights, whites, cold water, hot water. They knew all that.
The important stuff, yeah.
Yes, that's right, the important stuff. And then, of course, you know, Nabisco. You know, that was an important brand around our house. So
yeah.
you and I were talking about this. So you moved out with some skills. I don't think I knew all mine either, but my mom had taught me my senior year, the spring semester of my senior year, here's how you do your laundry. And I was kind of put out with it because I had other things like baseball going on.
Yeah, come on, Mom.
Yeah, what's up with this? But I'm so glad once I moved 1,500 miles away to a university that she had done that for
yeah.
me.
Yeah, and speaking of laundry, you told me a really interesting story that I had not heard before about a young woman named Liz Murray.
Yeah, yeah. Liz Murray was out to speak at one of our conferences a few years back. Liz is the young lady that got famous for her homeless to Harvard story.
Yes,
she
yes.
was a homeless teenager on the streets of New York, and she won this scholarship through a newspaper to get a full ride scholarship to Harvard University. So homeless to Harvard. Well, who does that?
I know.
But she says, one of my greatest memories, my freshman year of college at Harvard, was standing in the laundry room right next to one of my classmates, and we were both crying in front of the washing machine. Now, here's what's funny.
Yeah.
She said, I was crying because I'd never had my own washing machine to do my own clothes. my classmate was crying because she had never done her own clothes. So
two completely different reasons for tears. But
and
isn't it just, yeah, it's such a perfect picture of exactly where we are.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about more and more kids living with their parents, but the reality is a lot of kids have to live for their parent with their parents for a time, especially right after college, for factors that are almost beyond their control.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a good way to live with mom and dad and maybe a bad way. I wonder if you could speak to that,
too. Yeah, absolutely. I do think there's a number of reasons that are legit to be at the house beyond senior year of high school. One is inflation has outpaced young professional salaries. So even if they went right to a job, it's very likely they're going to start at the same salary they might have had in 1999, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's not good.
That's happening all the time.
Yeah, it is. And then college tuition, if they choose to go to college, is ridiculously high today. And I love colleges, but it's just way outpaced.
Yeah.
When I was going to school, I could have done a summer job and paid for an entire semester, if not an entire year of school, through my summer job.
Yeah.
Today, there's no chance
of
that.
That's not even possible.
Yeah. So that's happened. And then you know, another reason I think is what we've just said. I think sometimes we just haven't taken the time to pass on the life skill or the leadership skill to our young person because we think a good parent does it all for our children.
Yeah.
We love putting the Superman cape on and flying out to Lois Lane or Jimmy Olsen and saving the day.
In some ways, that's how parents define success.
Mm-hmm, that's
Did
right.
Did I remove all the obstacles from my kid's way?
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, I was just doing a parent conference up in Nashville.
Okay.
You spent a little time in Nashville,
haven't
you?
I did. I was raised there.
Yeah, that's right. So during a Q&A session with moms and dads, it was a parent event, one dad raised his hand. He said, "So, Tim, you're saying I shouldn't do everything for my daughter?" I said, "Bingo!" You know,
somebody got it.
Yeah, that's right. But he was quite baffled that he had assumed the definition of a good dad is I do everything. I get the iPhone, I get the iPad, and everything. And really, we need to see ourselves as trainers.
Yes,
we shouldn't just protect; we should prepare.
Yes, our self-help culture has led us to believe doing it for them rather than developing them to do it themselves is the goal.
Yeah.
But we both have known young people who have moved back home with mom and dad and seen it done successfully.
Yes. Okay. I
wonder if you could talk about what does that look like? What does it look like to move back home with mom and dad and not do it well versus doing it well?
And not be a loser.
Exactly.
I've got an L in front of my
He's
forehead.
Doing the 90s
yes,
thing.
Yes, that's
right.
Yes, I am. That was my decade.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think it's a simple rule of thumb. I don't think there's anything wrong with moving back home if you have a plan to move out again.
Yes.
So the data that I have looked at recently is males and females have tended to have a proneness to move back home after college, but the females move home with a plan. Mm. The males often move home with no plan except Call of Duty, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about a job. I'm talking
you're
about
not
a video
at
game.
All. You're talking about a video
so
game.
So I feel like if you've got to negotiate with your child, let's say who's 22 years old or 18 or whatever, it might be good to say, okay, sweetheart, if you're going to move back, let's sit down together, you and I with a tablet or a computer, and we're going to work out a game plan where there's deadlines and there's tasks, and it's very clear, not just for my sake to get free of you, but for your sake. You're going to feel like a better man or woman.
Yes.
With a game plan to move out, not just, I'm now 26 and I'm still at home with mom. Gee, do I feel...
Yeah.
I feel like George Costanza in Seinfeld. Remember, I'm single, I'm balding, and I live with my mom. You know, so that's
which
not what
was
we want.
A line that worked for him in
that
one
right.
episode.
So
but
that's
other than
true.
That,
it's
yeah.
true. Okay.
Yeah. So I actually know of young people who moved back home with mom and dad, and the plan that they set in motion was, I'm actually going to pay rent to my parents.
Yep.
They're going to collect that money and put it into an account. And when I move out in a year or a year and a half's time, I have that account of money to then put a down payment on a house I want to buy or something like that.
Yeah.
I've even had close family members who have done things like that.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things help me move back home with a purpose.
Yeah.
And that's a totally different situation.
I think so, too. In fact, we've done the same thing with one of our kids. That was a great deal. And then also, one other thing you just reminded me of, when my son and I flew out and did 5 site inspections for universities. So I was the dad that did that, but we did a pro and con list for all 5, and the college he picked was clear across the country. We live in Atlanta. He picked a private university in L.A., California. So I thought, oh, my gosh, this is going to be very expensive. It's California. It's a private school. But here's what we did. I said, Jonathan, I'll make you a deal. You can go all 4 years to this private university, and we will figure out a way to cover that as mom and dad. Now, grad school, that's up to you, but undergrad, that's up to us. But I said, or if you will stay at home the first 2 years and go to a community college, we'll split the money I save. He goes, bingo. And he took that. So he did the general ed in a community college, and that was no better for the wear. But then he was able to finish out those last 2 years at this school he really wanted to graduate from, and he had a little money.
So
it seemed to work out.
That's a smart idea.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get down to what are the actual skills that we think our young people are going to need. So as they're leaving high school, as they're moving out of the house, maybe heading off to college, what are some of the skills that you feel like as we're leaving, as they're leaving, they need to make sure they've developed? They need an experience with this thing so that they're going to be successful as an adult.
So Andrew, you and I have created this list of 14. Let's just banter back and forth. So listeners, there's 14 skills. There may be gobs more, but we've listed 14 that I feel these are pretty essential. If you got this, you got a toolbox that's full and you're ready to go.
There may be a 15th one you think of, but these 14 are a good place to start.
Yep. So here's number one.
Let's do it.
Number one, draft a budget. Mm. I feel like at 18 or at 22, at one of the junctions, you should be able to come up with a piece of paper or a Word document or something where you're managing your own money. I think becoming an adult means managing one's income and expenses. Doing this without a plan is ill-advised. You end up with credit card debt and all kinds of things going wrong. It's a crapshoot at best. So I believe every young adult needs the experience of creating a budget and knowing where their money's going.
That's good. That's number one. That's really good. I actually know of a family where one of their traditions as their kids were getting older was they did kind of like a liminal sort of rite of passage year, and every month they had a different activity, a different skill they built.
Oh, that's
good. One of the skills was for 1 month, that young person was in charge of the family's budget.
Oh, wow.
So they had to pay all the bills. Yeah. They had to like figure out how much money do we have for groceries and all of that. And obviously mom and dad were there the whole time. But what a great idea to do something like that.
That sounds great. Good.
Okay, so here's number two. Here's another one. Read a contract.
Yep.
So sooner or later, a young adult will be signing agreements for an apartment,
yep.
car, appliances, cell phones, some other kind of possession. And learning to read these kinds of contracts and looking for the small print,
yep.
the fine print that we're all on the lookout for, if they're not able to do that, it might haunt them later.
Yeah.
I know you and I have both had to sign contracts where you get to page 43 and go, you know what? That line doesn't look right. And if you haven't been trained to see those things, it's going to be hard to succeed in that.
Well, and Andrew, aren't we conditioned on our phone when we're agreeing to something on Apple?
Yes.
You don't scroll through that fine print that's 2-point font, whatever.
Nope.
You just check agree. So you've not really learned, even though you've looked at you got to learn to read a contract.
We've all pushed, I agree, but do we all know how to read a contract?
That's exactly
a totally
right.
different thing. All right.
So number three, change a tire.
Oh, yeah.
So I believe most young adults are probably going to outsource the changing of the oil and the car repairs. Of course, I did too. But boy, changing a tire beside the road is just a good thing to know. Even if you don't think you're going to have to do it a bunch, I just think it's just so helpful to know that skill. And it gives you peace of mind. If it ever happens, and it's likely going to happen at some point when you don't have brand new tires on the car.
Especially if your son or daughter is going somewhere that's an hour or more away, you're going to want them to be able to handle those
that's
kinds
right.
of situations themselves.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So this, even though it seems like a random one, I think this act with a car is probably the most paramount. I think you can farm out washing the car, changing the oil, et cetera. But boy, this one's good.
Yes, absolutely. All right, here's another one. Number four, have a job.
Yes.
A really important
one. It seems
like
it's a no-brainer, but sometimes that's
having
a
job as a teenager is so important because moving into an apartment is unwise until a young adult has actually had a job. And it's actually a no-brainer, but you would be surprised how many teens actually skip this step. Because you can't move out of your parents' house and into an apartment and not have any income. Or really even understand how jobs work, right? You've got to be able to appreciate the income that you get through that, knowing, okay, just because it says $9 an hour does not mean I get to take home all of that money. And I have always heard that one of the things that's really helpful is in your first couple of jobs, really, there is much about learning how to work, right, as anything else.
Yeah.
So I think for a lot of young people, that having that first job be fast food or something very simple in the service industry helps kind of build some of those skills so they're not entering that big, important first job at 22 with no experience whatsoever.
Yeah, I think the first job, at least, it's more about trust than talent.
Absolutely.
Can I trust you to do the work, to do what I've asked you to do, to complete the task? And I think we need to remember, my first job isn't about, don't you know how much talent I've got?
Yeah.
That comes later. Let me learn to trust you.
There aren't a lot of relationships in your life like you're going to have with a boss before you actually have that first job.
Yeah.
So it's good to get used to that kind of relationship.
No doubt. All right. So here's number five.
Let's do it.
Build your savings.
Mm.
So my thought is I suggest saving at least 3 months of living expenses before moving out. It's kind of a good cushion, 90 days of going between jobs perhaps next year when that happens or whatever. So 3 months of savings, now that's a lot to save up. So you ought to start well before you move out of mom and dad's house. Rainy days happen more often than you'd expect. Where they need to live with no income or in between jobs or due to an unexpected car repair. We've talked to both of our kids about this, and they're not always good at this slush fund because they're living from hand to mouth as a new married couple or as a single person. Both my kids are in that situation. And it's you got to have a rainy day fund. So I think saving up at least 3 months of living expenses is minimum.
And even understanding the value of saving, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to understand the value if you're not doing it.
That's
I think
it's
just a good muscle to build.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
All right, here's another one. Develop a skill. Number six, develop a skill. Too many teens today never work a job, like we talked about, and they're not complete until they're completely on their own. So the very first time they're working a job is when they're completely on their own after college. And this does a disservice to them because they haven't learned a skill that they can monetize.
Yeah.
They haven't developed a skill that they can monetize, because in doing so, you develop all kinds of positive outcomes like self-esteem, marketability, confidence. Yeah. When we learn a trade, it just makes us more marketable to the world.
Doubt. And really more valuable to the world. Even though we have innate value to family and to friends, there's a marketable value. So let me talk about what I think is really important about what you just said. As I heard you, I thought to myself, we ought to just not teach skills in general, because a kid might go, I can play video games really well.
Yeah.
I think it's monetizable. So I think it's good, this is my opinion, to teach your young adult what skills do you have that you could actually generate revenue with that skill.
Yeah.
And some kids are innately good at this. I wash cars, I walk dogs, I babysit, whatever. That's all good. But you ought to be able to say, here's how I could earn money, and show me the money. Show me that you can do this, not just... Yeah, like I said, I play video games, I make good cookies. Well, sell the cookies. Do something that shows value in that skill.
That's so good. Okay. We talk a lot about soft skills on this podcast, but we would say some of those hard skills, especially the monetizable ones, are so important.
Yep. All right. So we have number seven coming up here. Number seven is interview well. Now, I want you to think about this, listeners. Practicing how to interview or be interviewed builds executive functioning in a teen. All those basic skills like looking someone in the eye, shaking hands, answering questions directly to their face, not looking off or looking down at the phone. So I just think learning to interview is valuable on many levels. For instance, employers say people skills are rare when they're interviewing young recent graduates. They differentiate job candidates from others. Looking someone in the eye, like I said, shaking hands, basic communication skills are critical, and they might just differentiate two young adults, one both with college degrees, both with good GPAs, but one's able to do those soft skills really well. So learn to interview is a paramount life skill to get.
Absolutely. And it's a skill that you can use everywhere, right?
And all the time, the rest of your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even meeting the neighbor, shaking their hand and looking them in the eye makes a huge difference.
Yeah. So. One more thing I'll add real quick. I have told our different shifts of interns in the past. We have spring, summer, and fall interns. By the way, if you're listening, we have interns here at Growing Leaders. So if you have a young person that would
send
love
them
that,
on. We'd
that's
love
right.
To have
we
them.
Love that. But I would say to an intern sometimes, this internship is a four-month job interview.
Yes.
So it is shaking hands and looking at me. But it's also, if you're good, and we have a number of people on full-time staff that start as an intern, we said, we don't want to lose you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool.
Could not be said better. All right, number eight. Learn cooking basics.
Ooh, now this is good for you.
Yes, this is a good one. I would say eating out is in vogue. It's always been in vogue, actually. And young people feel really, really fancy and high society when they can go out, even if it's just a Taco Bell or something. But it's almost always more expensive than cooking. In fact, the best way to save money typically in your average budget is to switch out some of those nights where you're eating out for nights where you're eating in. It's a great way to save.
I agree.
I suggest a young adult learn at least three recipes that they can rotate. And you can say ramen is or frozen pizza is one of them, but it's better if you actually have a meal you can cook.
Yes.
And not only that, but I just feel like it builds a relationship with other people.
Yeah.
When you cook,
it's
a greater opportunity to connect with other people. So
I think in addition to that, it just builds confidence.
Absolutely.
When I learned to cook a few meals, not a bunch, but a few, I'd say more confidence in being on my own.
Yeah.
So, all right. We have a handful of others. Number nine, minimize your needs. This is actually a skill that I think is good to learn, especially for many that have, can I just say this, kind of felt entitled to the best clothes, the best Apple products all through their K-12 years. So by minimizing your needs, here's what I really believe about this. The richest people are not those who have the most, but those who need the least.
Mm.
So I'm rich when I just don't need a bunch, and I've got more than I need, and I'm grateful because of that. There's a rare skill.
Yeah.
So minimize your needs is everything to do with that. One good step for young adults is to become a minimalist. My son is a bit of this. He doesn't need new clothes all the time or shoes. In fact, the women in his life, his mother and his wife, both wish he had more clothes, but at least he could go, I'm a minimalist, okay? So learning to live on less is a great skill, especially in uncertain times. If you don't need a lot, if the economy's down, you're okay.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. I love that. All right, here's number 10. Value people. Mm-hmm. I've learned this in a lot of different places. In fact, sometimes, in some ways, I feel like I learned this too late in life. But it's easy to be naturally task-oriented or tend to value results over relationships, but we know that's actually the opposite.
So
learning the importance of face-to-face relationships is actually one of the most important things that you can do, and it's a sign of maturity. One of the things I learned a little too late in life, I feel like, is who you know is more important than what you know. In fact, one of the things that's been fascinating for me in my career is to realize that actually the people who were sitting with me in my classroom were more important than the information I was learning from the front of the classroom.
Interesting thought.
And there was also always a lot of great information coming from the front. But what I've realized is the relationships I built with the people who were sitting next to me, those are the things that have carried on and paid off the most in my career. So who you know is more important than what you know. And a lot of us wait till too late in life to start valuing the people around us.
One of those who's you married.
That's
correct.
I'm
just saying. Yeah. I'm not saying.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Number 11. Manage a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's my simple thought on this. My wife and I have now come to believe that really we want to buy things only that we can pay cash for. That's just how we live. Or we'll use the credit card, but we pay it off at the end of every month. However, learning to use credit cards, especially early on in a professional career, just helps you build credit. You know, there's a credit score you're accumulating, good or bad. And to build credit scores, and it just enables you to buy a house or a car when you're ready. And so I suggest they get a credit card, not 15, a credit card, and earn points that you might have with an airline or a hotel, and then pay it off every month. That's just a good rhythm to begin to build into your life.
Yes, that's great. I love that. Okay, number 12, do laundry. Everybody's favorite chore. Everybody's favorite chore. And one that we've already talked about quite a lot.
Yeah.
But some teens move away from their parents, and they've never once done their own laundry. There's probably so many examples of this. But I think that this actually stunts their growth. Because it's the grunt work that a lot of us, all of us, must learn to endure. We all know the feeling, those of us who have been adulting for a while, of going to work, working all day, feeling totally exhausted, going home and realizing there's more work to be done. And that's just part of life. And the longer you wait into life to start doing that, the more you're going to feel like, you know what, I think I'm just going to find somebody who can do my laundry for me, right? Rather than actually taking on those responsibilities and realizing people have been doing this down through history for a long time. Yeah. I can handle it too.
Yeah, good. All right, two more. Number 13, manage your schedule.
Oh, yeah.
Now, managing a calendar is something most teens learn to do in school. In fact, in our area of Metro Atlanta, the kids have to keep a calendar at their school. But it can remain an undeveloped skill if their priorities are always handed to them by adults. Like in K-12, an adult tells you, put this on the calendar.
So you're not
actually doing it yourself. So they must learn the issue. It's not prioritizing your schedule, but scheduling your priorities.
Love it.
It means I got a blank calendar. I'm going to put in those the things that I see as main important goals.
My friends want me to go out on Friday night, but I realize there's another activity I need to do that's more important, vital for right now.
Yep.
So
there you go.
That's good. All right, here's the last one, number 14, clean a bathroom.
Yep.
Another of people's favorite activities. Mm-hmm. This task is probably the ultimate example of servant leadership. Learning to clean a house and especially a bathroom cultivates an ability to endure almost any other job that has to be done.
So true.
And we all know there are jobs like that, you know. In work, sometimes somebody walks in and gives you a task that you don't want to do. But if you're a person who has done activities like clean a bathroom, you're ready to roll up your sleeves and go, I can do what needs to be done. It's a posture that you have towards the world that you really only learn by doing things like cleaning a bathroom.
I agree. In fact, in my mind, Andrew, here's how I place it. I think there's a task item you need to learn and a people item you need to learn when it comes to work. The best task to do when it's just task is clean a bathroom, clean a toilet, do all that stuff that's you know. I think in terms of people, it's wait tables. It's a service job that you're putting up with customers that are not happy with the salt shaker or whatever, and you're learning to serve and smile and make it right. Oh my gosh, if you can do that, you can work almost anywhere.
Yeah, you're ready to handle any situation. Yeah. Well, these are 14 good life skills. As you guys are listening, maybe you're thinking, I need to engage all 14 of these. Maybe you're thinking of a couple other others you want to do. That's great. But there may also be soft skills you want to develop. Yeah. We've talked about this from time to time on the podcast about how important it is that young people are developing hard skills and soft skills to go along with it. And of course, the tool that we're biased towards is this tool called Habitudes. Habitudes, of course, are images that form leadership habits and attitudes. And there's a couple Habitudes courses. You can get them as books or a digital course that are really, really helpful for especially these for transitional periods in a student's life as they're getting ready. They're leaving childhood, entering in, going through adolescence and entering into adulthood and getting their first job. So here's a couple that we would suggest. Habitudes for the Journey is all about the art of navigating transition and doing it really, really well. There's some great, great images in there for them to learn. There's another one called Habitudes for Career Readiness, which is all about the career skills that you're going to need in any position, whether that's, you know, white collar, blue collar, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You're going to need career skills. Mm-hmm. And that's really what that course is about. And of course, we also have Habitudes for New Professionals, which we think is really helpful, especially for office culture and office life, what it looks like to be in the very beginning of a long, long career that you're trying to figure out, how do I get to it?
We call it the freshman year of your career.
That's right. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. So those three resources, Habitudes for the Journey, Habitudes for Career Readiness, and Habitudes for New Professionals are all available on our website, growingleaders.com. You just click on the store and you'll be able to see all of those resources there. I strongly suggest you look into those, especially they could be a great graduation gift for a young person. So thank you so much for listening. Tim, thanks for helping us talk about all of these skills. If you would help us, it really helps us a lot for you to rate this podcast. If you want to give us 5 stars on iTunes, that goes a long way to promote the podcast for us. Connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and we love to connect with you there. And then as always, if you've got ideas for this podcast, people you want us to interview, anything at all, shoot us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those, hearing from you, and learning from your ideas. So, Tim, thanks so much for leading us through this conversation. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.